Who took on the mayor?
I'm doing the mayor.
Yeah.
I think, unless somebody wants to split with me. That's a lot of different voices, but...
Okay.
Well, you seem to have a good dramatic flair.
Yes.
We'll let you play with it the way you want.
Yeah, have fun.
All righty.
Okay, here is the layout that I did. I already... Death is the first card.
Hey!
I'm laughing. Okay, card two is the Aeon.
We had that last week. This is Val again. Has arrived. Oh, that was you before, Val. Hi.
Yes, it was me. I don't. Nothing was working. I could hear you guys, but you couldn't hear me.
Right. Okay.
No, I'm not a lurker. Well, usually I am, but no, not officially.
Okay.
The Aeon is number 20, right? Judgment.
First card, Val, was death.
Yes,
okay.
Death. And the second one was Aeon.
Aeon, right.
And Aeon is 20?
Yes.
Yes.
Third card is Knight of Cups.
Which is like the king, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And fourth card is the Ace of Swords.
Ace of Swords?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Fifth card is the Ten of Swords.
Well. And there's a name that goes along with that.
Ruin. Sixth card is the Four of Cups, Luxury. Arc of Influence is Prince of Discs. Three of Swords. Sorrow. Four of Swords, Truce. Lots of swords.
Yes. Lots.
Including death.
And the Four of Swords, yeah. Swords was Truce, T-R-U-C-E?
Yes. Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
T-R-U-C-E,
is that the healer?
Excuse me?
Is the Prince of Discs in the Toss deck, is that considered the healer?
Not that I know of.
He's the knight.
The king is the knight. We went through this before, David.
Yeah, but the Prince of Discs would equate to, like, the Knight of Pentacles.
That's right.
In a RWS deck.
Yeah.
I thought that was the healer in the Thought deck.
I don't think the courts have keywords on them, do they, John?
Some, only the pips have keywords on them.
Yeah, only the pips, that's what I thought, yeah. I don't have my Thought deck with me. Cynthia has arrived.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, Cynthia. Hi, I apologize for being late. I overslept.
Okay.
Well, you got your pin ready, Cynthia?
Yes.
First card is death. The second card is Aeon. Yes. Number 20. The third card is the Knight of Cups. Fourth card is the Ace of Swords. Fifth card is the Ten of Swords, Rune. Sixth card is the Four of Cups, Luxury. The seventh card is the Prince of Discs. Eighth card is the Three of Swords, the Sorrow. And the ninth card is the Four of Swords, Truth.
Wait. The ninth card is the Two of Swords, not four.
Oh, okay.
The ninth card is the Two of Swords.
Yes, Truce.
Okay.
Oh, Two of Swords is Truce. Okay, I thought you said four also.
Yeah, me too.
Wait. No, sorry. It's Four of Swords. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's fine. Right. Yeah.
Okay. I wrote that.
All right, we're back to Four of Swords.
Yeah, it is Four. I'm sorry.
All right. Yeah.
Four of Swords.
Well, we repeat it a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's... Anybody got anything preliminary they want to say about the spread before we go on to reading the story?
Well, once again, it's a very powerful spread, led off by two major cards.
Yeah. And all those swords.
Oh, all those swords. Now, I want to clarify for myself, the Prince of Pentacles, or Discs, rather, in the Crowley, is it the Page of Pentacles? No, it would be the Knight of Pentacles in the Rider-Waite.
Right.
Yes, the Knight.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And yesterday I was listening to Dr. Clarissa Pinkola Estes do a series, I'm just starting it, on Mother Night. She's a storyteller.
Oh, I've got that to listen to, too. Yeah.
Oh, what? You're going to love it.
Yeah.
She made a point that I immediately thought of the Three of Swords. Everyone's seen that grisly Sacred Heart image in the Roman Catholic tradition. It's French and Spanish, mostly. At any rate, she described the Sacred Heart, as has Carolyn Mace, as the heart of the sacred.
Yeah.
Carolyn Mace just said it outright, the heart of the sacred. Clarissa Pinkola Estes, Dr. Pinkola Estes, did not, but she implied it. And she did discuss sorrow and how sorrow creates the sacred empathetic heart. And, it's just another way of expressing. Perhaps when you receive the card, he's using it very traditionally. But another way of looking at it is, oh, you've been through a lot. I see you've been through a lot. You're a very empathetic person, or you need to be more empathetic, or your sorrows hopefully will turn to a great deal of empathy and compassion for others. You know, that kind of thing. We don't get to read that way for other people, but for ourselves, it's an interesting outlook.
Cynthia, what is it that you were listening to by Estes?
Yes, it's called Mother Night. It just came out.
Mother what?
Mother Night.
Oh, Night, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, she basically a bunch of, folk stories?
Well, she's a Jungian shrink who is a cantadora. She's a storyteller.
Oh, I know who she is. I just didn't know what the title was. You
had it's in the title. It just came out.
Okay.
It's an audio book. Sounds true.
I don't think she's done really a big book since Women Who Run With the Wolves.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, her tradition is in the oral tradition,
exactly.
So I guess that makes sense.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Joy, I wanted to alert you. Apparently, Netzach is related very strongly to Venus. Mm-hmm. Is this correct?
Mm-hmm.
And
to Venus?
Venus.
Sorry. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. And it's interesting that in this spread we do have one cup card, but for the most part it's all swords.
Yeah.
So this is Venus with a penis.
We have an Earth card.
I think I got that.
We do have one Earth card, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I did want to point out to everybody, since it was pointed out in the notes, that if you since we're going to get started to read now, that if you look at the framing,
yeah,
they're all little demons in various forms of sexual congress, which might give you some ideas of things to do. I don't know. I haven't looked at them closely enough yet.
So like the Kama Sutra.
Demons on the first page?
Where?
I missed it. Where?
The frames around the pages.
The frames around the pages. The mayor of Baskerville. Yes.
You know, I did miss that. Thank you.
Yes.
I heard you say that.
Yes, well, that was pointed out in the PDF notes. Okay. So I guess on that,
vicious net.
Yes, we're going to start in hell. And take it away, Mary Beth and
all right.
Prometheus.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, no. Okay.
Well, this is nice. Naturally, I agree, Great Asmodee. Why, we have a terrestrial city fall into our jurisdiction. I rather think, Earl Renove, that his appalling majesty's remarks were meant ironically. You don't mind my breath, do you, my lovely? Of course, I was being ironic, you credence dung, you supurating. Something is descending on us, I can feel it. Asmodee's right. Lately, I've caught the stench of myrrh, a sniff of woman. It's her, the one with the caduceus at the hospital. Or, noble person, with respect, mayhap one of her frightful sisters. But why should she or they attack us only now? Do you know? Does my little viper know? Be silent, Astaroth. We must look now to our defenses. I shall have 660 legions marshaled with all speed. Yeah, though their clamor shakes the tree itself, so shall it be.
Mr. Mayor?
For thus croaks Bale and croaks for Pandemonium itself.
Mr. Mayor? Sonny? Look, we really have to discuss these planning proposals. Somebody else want to be the...
See, Mr. Mayor Baskerville, the new city hall, we need clarification. I mean, why exactly does it have to be a five-pointed star?
What?
City hall, Sonny, you said you wanted a south-facing five-pointed star. You see, architecturally, we think there could be problems with...
You think? You think? And who gives the bloody snots of an infant flayed alive and roasted in hell what you think, you trickling excrescent?
Oh, yeah.
You are not here to thank, you leprous little scab. The only purpose of your mildew-like existence is to do my bidding. Do you understand?
Please, Sonny, not again.
He's a peach, ain't he?
I worked the daily in Chicago, and he wasn't a patch on this guy.
I understand.
I'll kick your guts out, you son of a tinkered bitch.
He's good, that muttering creepy, though.
Yeah, all that muttering is creepy. Personally, I like the raving and bellowing better. It's more normal.
You pustule! Septic entrails of a bug!
Sonny, leave him. He's unconscious.
Yeah, raving and bellowing. Good. Plus, I gotta say, the voters love him. Oh, you mean that poll? Yeah, I saw that. They say he really livened up the city.
Clean this fool away and build me my pedicle.
Yes, sir, Sonny, Mr. Mayor. We're right off on it.
Yeah, he's done all but right. He's livened up the city. Somebody want to be the weeping gorilla?
Why can't everybody just, you know, get along? It's new issues every month. That's your news dealer.
Yeah,
everybody just get along. Oh, balls, Roger's down.
Who are the five swell guys?
Why don't you try doing something about it, Bob? You're the friggin' leader, and you always leave everything to me and Roger.
Stan, calm down.
And here's
you're not feeling quite so swell, darling.
Oh, dear, not feeling quite so swell, darling? Frankly, my dears, you wouldn't be such a mess if you weren't also in my way. If I were you, I'd get out of it.
That makes sense. I'm in an easel, 1927 landscape, alien landscape, woman artist, she's bisexual, mild addiction to cocaine, her name's Clunk. She's nuts, Stan, hit her with something.
What can I say, darling? It was the 20s. We just got through a war. We were all feeling terribly frisky.
You, Bob, you hit her. I think we missed something.
Yeah, you got
terrific gameplay, and whacking the mayor's kind of profound. So, is that right? You were bisexual?
Yeah, right. And let you whack the mayor? This ain't the one that stopped the Elastigel. This is different. Are you getting anything, Kenneth?
What can I say, darling? Oh, that's,
No, I think that's the other one.
Wait, where am I?
Johanna, Stacia.
Yeah, and she still has a way to go. So, that's all I have.
What can I say, darling?
Oh, okay. What can I say, darling? It was the 20s when we just got through the war. We were all feeling terribly frisky.
You, Bob, you hit her.
Listen, I don't understand how come you have to kill the mayor when the other Promethea didn't.
Oh, we've completely different temperaments, darling. You see, I'm much more in touch with my emotions. And she has a way to go.
Here we are.
Off we go.
Love and the law, Promethea, love and the law. Wow.
Yes, and this, what is the,
It starts with, Sophie Promethea, right?
Yeah.
Hi, you two okay?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, Austin was just explaining stuff to me about Toth and his ape, this communication theory stuff about signal and noise. And, we had sex. I don't want you to think I'm unfaithful to Steve. It's just...
Barbara, it's fine, I understand. Different things are important here.
Are they bugger?
This is Austin.
No, are you coming with us?
No, that's Promethea.
That's Promethea.
It's just that here you're near enough to your emotions to feel what's really important. Good luck in NetSack, Barbara. Hope you find your old man.
You're not coming with us?
No,
this is a bit of me belongs in Hod. You see me later down the road, but I won't know you. I'll be a completely different person there. Take care, girls. Don't get out of your depth.
Girls.
So that's Austin Osmond Spare. He's sort of intense, isn't he?
Sophie, man, that was the weirdest blank I've ever had. I mean, not love, but there were these smeary faces boiling around his head, and I kept changing. I was like 16 or something. I tell you, it's a good job. I'm already dead.
I guess this is the entrance to the seventh Venusian Sephirot. There below the arch is the Venus symbol combined with the figure seven, even with a little cross on the bottom. And there's the Hebrew word netzach, which means victory.
I thought this sphere was all love and emotions. And like that, how come this is called victory?
I don't know. It never really explained that in any of the books Jack Faust loaned me. Hey, this leads straight down to the surf. Are we supposed to, like, go on the water?
I guess. God. You smell roses? Me and Steve's wedding, we had these heavy-scented roses.
It's warm. The water's warm. It's like body temperature. My mom used to bathe me when I was a baby. It was... Jesus, I'm getting all choked up. What is this?
I know. I can remember our first house, how it smelled. When we moved in, the paint. Oh.
It's emotion. Water is emotion. It's element. Barbara, I can't stay afloat in this. It's like there's a current.
Yeah. It's okay. It's not so bad. If I don't think about Steve, how his laugh sounded watching Saturday Night Live. Poor, great John Belushi. Sophie, aren't we drowning? I can't breathe and talk. It's like being underwater in a dream.
This isn't water. It's water on a symbolic level. Water as a symbol of emotion, an ocean of emotion.
Huh. Barbara, that's you.
Barbara?
Oh, it is? Okay. Yeah. Or what was it? In Yellow Submarine, a sea of green. Hey, what's that? It looks like emerald.
I think I saw this in a book by that Letcher Crowley. Read about the heptagon. It's a magical order of the seven classical planets. Follow the lines of the heptagram, and it's the days of the week, or the gods that represent them. See, Monday's the moon, Tuesday's the martial god Tu, Wednesday's the magic god Woden, and so on.
Well, I'll be damned. How many weeks was I alive without noticing that? Hey, thinking about it, even in different languages, it's the gods of the same spheres. Like, we have Woden's Day Wednesday, and the French is, what's that? Mercury's Day?
That's right, and we have Friday after Norse goddess Freya, while the French have Vendredi after Venus. I guess it's here because the seven-pointed star represents the seventh sphere.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of weird. Ordinary life, it's got this ancient symbol systems running all through it, and nobody even thinks about it. It's, geez, what's happening here?
It's like some sort of geyser boiling up from an ocean bed vent, but the bubbles, they've got pictures in them. And the pictures are moving. Barbara, this is a little kid crying here. She sort of looks like...
Okay, now do we read the inscription?
Yeah, I think it's an echo, yeah.
Kitchen, getting cereal, hearing
this is still Sophie. Sophie from Ethia.
She looks sort of like me, and I'm in the kitchen getting cereal, hearing them shouting, nobody loves anybody, nobody loves me. I'm crying in the milk, and I'm 16, and boys love me a little. Well, that's what they mean when they say about doing me. They mean they love me, and I'm 20 in the bars, and when I'm drunk, I don't care that there's nobody wants me. I'm a joke, my stupid name, Trish Bangs. And now I'm 22, I'm pregnant, won that shit. I thought he was the one, he disappeared. I don't know. Maybe I wanted this because, you know, she will love me.
Ah, so that's actually Trish. That's cool.
Hmm. Jeez, that's...
And Barbara's got bubbles here, too.
Yeah.
Little one.
Jeez, that's me. That's me in 1970 when I first turned into Promethea. Oh, God, look at me. I was really pretty. Steve, baby, look what you've done. I'm that chick you write about. Baby, you know... Wait, baby, how you did that? I'm yelling. I'm telling you, guy, you're some kind of wizard. And on the paper, she's infinite and infinitely beautiful, sexy as anything. She's imagination and imagination's flower. She is Promethea.
Doesn't she look like Sophie Promethea, though?
Well, the next bubble is Sophie, I think.
But even when she was Trish.
Yeah, okay.
Promethea.
Man, I tell you, I was great. I got the schmies confused, so they attacked the Night Queen, and, aw, baby, I'm sorry. How was your day? You get much writing done, eh? Anyway, these schmies. Okay, Steve, look, the temple are building some sort of astral monster. I know it's our anniversary, but what am I supposed to do? I'll make it up to you, sweetheart. I promise. Panel one. The man desperate grabs Promethea's robe. Man, please, don't go away. I love you more than anything. Aw, Barb. Come home, Barb. Steve, oh God, baby. I got here as soon as I could when I... Steve? So that's all memories.
Okay. Yep, and now next page. Wow.
I wasn't there when he wanted me. I wasn't there. This is too much. Sophie, I can't take this surge of emotion. It's knocking me over. It's... Steve, baby.
Oh, God, Mom, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't know. I didn't know how bad you just wanted my love.
Okay, that's so... Okay, okay.
Hurt.
This current waves of feeling, I wanted to stop.
Eyeball. Prepared.
Where are you?
Reading the fish.
Never sad.
Oh, I see. Okay.
The fish have messages.
My fault. So
my fault.
Sorrow.
Afraid.
Okay. Alone. Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
This current waves of feeling. I just want it to stop. I don't want to feel like this. Like I'm helpless. Even when he died, I wasn't there.
Barbara, this is tearing me apart. Oh, God. I called her a drunk. I said I hated her. I'm sinking, drowning in it. Heartache bigger than the sea, and I can't fight. There's nothing I can do except surrender.
Ah! And it's you.
I think we
victory.
Go across first. Yeah.
Yeah, victory.
Okay, then.
And she's enough, and... Everything's safe. Just knowing that is such a relief.
Yeah, Sophie, this is bliss. My thoughts, my feelings, the water, everything so warm. A drifting and peaceful. The sea is like tears or like the womb.
It's calm now. I feel good. Like you said... Oh, sorry. No, that's me. Like you said, you have to surrender.
Oh,
maybe
it's
it
calm.
I don't know.
I feel good, and like you said, you have to surrender. Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm dealing with my cat here that just wants to be in the middle of everything.
It's okay.
Hard to read the...
Your fish
my
is the cat. Yes, he's in the middle of the fish. The cat got
so I don't really know where
love.
We are.
Because love, surrender is love.
Okay, love. All the love there's ever been, she's it.
Everything that's alive.
Okay.
Organisms struggling and reproducing in this rich green soup, and the whole world, every species results from that. That first attraction.
Okay.
Particles, organisms, planets, and suns, it's all about attraction. It's how everything holds together.
There's that Venus sign again, the planet symbol, and those jewels set into it. It's that thing, that Kabbalah thing.
Yes, the tree of life, and Venus is the only planetary symbol that completely reprises its shape. They say it's because that's the principle the entire universe is founded on, love.
You know, earlier, that rough current, until we stopped fighting it, that's how my emotions always used to be, always fighting, always reacting. I get scared or angry or depressed, all reactions. I hardly got time to find out what my own real feelings were.
Yeah, you know, it's lighter here. It even feels lighter. We must be closer to the surface. Yeah, not as okay as... Oh, sorry.
You know, it's Barbara first.
It's not me?
They get washed up on the shore.
Right.
Yeah, go across and up the page.
Go across the top and then start off on the from the bottom.
But
Barbara needs to say, damn, that was bumpy.
Oh, damn, that was bumpy. Sophie, are you okay?
I'm not as okay as I was 2 minutes ago, but I'm good. I'm just not blissed out anymore.
Me neither. God, that was a strange experience, being dragged and thrown around by moods and feelings, but maybe that's just life.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if we have emotions or if emotions have us. Come on, let's head up the beach.
Sure. So, where next? Steve wasn't here or in the last zone, that Mercury sphere.
I guess we just have to go higher.
Yeah, well, that's higher than imagination or intelligence or emotion. Say, is that place changing color?
It's getting darker. As for what's higher, see, there's our dreams, intellect, or feelings, and then there's the self that has dreams, has mind, and has feelings. The self is higher. It's the highest self. It's your will. It's your soul.
And this highway goes there, right? Does it have a tarot name?
Yeah.
Death. Sophie, I already died. I really don't need to go through this again.
Relax, and tarot death is just a metaphor. Before progressing to the solar sphere, the highest self, it's like our lower personality, the thing we think of as us, has to die.
What?
I think we go down first.
Down? Oh, okay.
It's all our earthly attachments, all our worldly ideas and petty emotions that are killed, so that we can change and move on. Change is like death. It's scary, but it's natural.
Are you sure? I mean, look at this place. It's all cactus plants and beetles and scorpions.
I guess those are are just the magical plants and animals associated with this path. Honestly, Barbara, there's nothing to worry about. All this menacing imagery, like the skeleton with the scythe, it's just...
Oh.
Symbolic.
Boy.
Oh, boy.
That's pretty strong symbolic.
Jeez. You know, well, that metaphorical stuff? It really hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of gets the idea across, though, doesn't it?
You better be moving on.
And the
there's first
a way
card
to go before morning.
Yeah. And the first card we drew for this was death.
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Yep.
Okay,
and the Three of Swords, the one that underwater, don't they say something about suffering?
Yes, they say how their emotions, they so identify with their emotions, they're weeping and crying.
Right. Yes.
But we need. But one of the things we can recognize is that most of the emotions that were evidenced were primarily Barbara's. Is that she herself was in a sense of antagonism? I mean, you know, she talks. You know, she goes through these snapshot bubbles of her life, in which she's doesn't really know her emotions in a way. She's almost a classic adult child of an alcoholic.
Well, there have been studies, I think I mentioned this before, in personality and neurophysiology of the brain and memory. People tend to remember the negative, not the positive. And that's just a function of memory and the way memory is.
Yeah, because that's the stuff that you want to avoid. It's the stuff you need to remember instead of, you know, instead of self-preservation.
Yes and no. It can, if you blow it up into, you know, this eternal crisis kind of thing, where you are so identified with those memories, you can waste a lot of your life and a lot of your time. Hmm. So
also, it's
how you. Well, it depends on how you deal with it, I think.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
On if you deal with it, yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, memories are very... if I put the card luxury to the aspect of emotion, emotional memory, we do luxuriate in it.
Four of Cups? The Four of Cups luxury?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
We do luxuriate in our memories many times, and they did even in the artwork and in the story.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so when I was 17, and this is when... And it's a feel-good time, you know. You want to have the good memories, but it's saying that you have to you have to really move on.
Well, you have to work at it too. Mm-hmm. You have to glean. You know,
let's look at the spread. The spread has preponderance of swords in it.
Mm-hmm.
The sword, and we're in nutsack.
Yep.
As I said, it seems unusual that that we have this many swords in nutsack, and not a preponderance of cups, and yet we really only have one cup, right? No, we have two.
The Knight of Cups and
the Knight of Cups
and the Four of Cups.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And but we have of course, the Knight of Cups is mastery of the emotions,
right.
And the Ace of Swords. So this is actually showing an interesting relationship between cups and swords, sort of how they interact in a way. How they maybe our memories are more in swords, and our immediate emotions are more in cups. I don't know if that's necessarily the best way to read
Well, I think our memories, it depends on what you mean by memory. I think there are certain very elemental memories that we have that we haven't intellectualized, that we have not put into language. It's the stuff that maybe comes out in our dreams sometimes. I don't know.
Memory tends to be pretty physiologic. I mean, the whole study of aura and chakra.
Yeah.
You know, and Reiki and so forth.
But what I'm seeing that is that as a part of swords. In other words, making swords less intellectual and showing, as it were, sort of the, a more visceral part of what swords is.
That makes a lot of sense, Paul. I'd also, I wonder if there's something to do with the need to defend ourselves because emotions make us vulnerable.
That's a very good point.
Mm-hmm. And, it's also related to the Barbara persona, too. Which
I think that's something to keep in mind, swords and vulnerability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it may be, that swords are the... You know, swords are our protection, are protecting our cups, you know.
Well, they have both ways. They wound and they can protect.
Yeah. It could also be saying the swords are mine, so maybe our emotions are so much of our mind.
I always...
Swords are mine, deal with the mind. And so many of our emotions are tied in with our mind, our thoughts.
Right.
Yes.
There is a confusion there many times. I mean, what's the line that you always hear from a shrink? And how does that make you feel?
Right.
And meanwhile, and then you're talking about it, not realizing that you had to access something called feelings and not reaction.
I think it's a little, there's a difference in the actual feeling and in the language used to express the feeling. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is something elemental under there that cannot be translated into language, which for me, swords also indicate language, communication. And I think that feeling something is very different than expressing how you feel. The closest thing I can come to in my personal experience is one time, long story short, I used to work in bookstores, and I was straightening the Bible section one day in the store I was in, and somebody had left a leather-bound Bible open on the shelf, and I picked it up and zipped the zipper, and when I did, I got that smell. I don't know if you know what I mean by that Bible smell, the leather and the parchment.
Right.
And my God, without even thinking about it, my grandfather was standing there right in front of me. Mm-hmm. It was so powerful. It hit me so unexpectedly. Mm-hmm. Literally, it brought tears to my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was a pure emotion. Didn't come from any language. Didn't come from any intellectualizing or thinking about, oh, Grandpa. It was just there.
Mm-hmm.
So, there was a difference between the actual...
Mary Beth, steps out of our five senses. We no longer are languaging an experience like that the way we do this conversation.
Wait a minute.
That steps into the extra sense.
Let me bring in something exterior to this. If you Google difference between feeling and emotion, there's a whole bunch of essays about the difference between emotions and feelings. Now, in some ways, I think that there. So, to quote this essay, emotion is more similar to conscious thought than feelings are to conscious thought.
Yeah.
See, so although emotions and feelings can be described as unconscious thought, one of them is going to be more similar to conscious thought. Feelings are more like sensations. When you touch something, you get a feeling. And so in some ways, what was evoked when you, particularly in this profound sense of seeing your grandfather, is that's a profound flooding of feeling, a sensate thing. In that way, and because it becomes sensate, these emotions become sensate, they become feelings. Feelings then, the argument here, which is kind of different than the way I would have, if I was making up my definition myself, I would probably have done it differently, but what they're claiming is feelings are close to the sensate, and emotions are more closer to the way we are mediated through the mind. That would mean that you know, emotions are shaped to a degree by our words. You know, but you can also see then that cups, which is interesting, is that, you know, cups, the mind, if we think of the hard stuff of the swords and the hard stuff of the cup, as a cup, you know, molding the wet stuff that has, that's, you know, all over the place of pure emotion, of pure sensation without context.
And of course swords and blood go together.
Oh, don't they, though? Yeah.
Cutting open the butt. So in some ways...
Yeah, you know what? In Spanish cultures, I found out swords are associated with water because of the blood
and because
of the depth involved, because they're piercing and can go deep. They're associated with water.
That does sound like a patriarchal view of I am master of the universe. But let's say, so then what are cups related to? Drunkenness?
I just remember it coming up on the worldwide meetup board. Remember somebody found some random card that... I just remember, maybe I even knew it before then. I don't know where I heard it, but somebody was talking about that.
Well, it is fascinating the way these things work. So feelings are more immediate. Something happens or is happening.
I had heard swords reversed. Aspire.
Well, yeah, that's common in our culture, though.
Yeah, that's more common in our culture.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, okay, but I think here, then, what our reading is bringing up for us, specifically in relation to the story.
Wait, let Joy finish. What?
It's the sword in the cup, or the knife in the cup, the, like dagger or athame or something, that together is that sexual Congress image, and she talks a lot about the attraction and the drawing together that causes creation and stuff in this. Maybe that's why we ended
She also had sex with Austin.
Sophie.
Sophie. Okay.
She did.
She also had sex with Austin.
Right.
Which she confesses to.
Sorry,
yeah, Barbara did.
But it's her memories that dominate.
Oh, that's true.
That dominate the story.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So that's another way of saying. And so, of course, then the classic sex and death thing is that you have almost this. So you could say that this whole story, in a way, 16, is the sex and death. And of course, isn't death 16?
No.
13.
No. Death is always 13.
I just remembered, too, what the title of this chapter is, what, Love and the Law?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
There we have the water and the air, you know. I mean, it's wow. That's kind of cool. I didn't see much of the law in this chapter.
Well, it also relates to the Crawley...
Love and the will.
Yeah, love.
Love is the law. So the will would be the Ace of Swords, I would imagine, and the male figures. What is also interesting is that you have the hidden motivation is ruin, endings. You know, the Ten of Swords, and they get chopped up by death.
But you know, the Ten of Swords. It depends on how you read and what the question is, of course. But the Ten of Swords doesn't mean to die. It's more of a death, as was described by Alan Moore, how he.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I agree.
I see that card, Ten of Swords, in relation to the chapter as ending those emotions that drag you down.
Right.
Good point.
You've gotten as low as you can go, and you can't go any lower, and, you know.
They were sinking deeper and deeper as they got more and more into those past memories.
Yeah. You know, the one element that is completely missing from this reading, completely missing, is fire. We have no fire in this reading at all.
Right. No words. That's right.
Yep.
Well, but you can also see that everything in this story that we've dealt with so far is reactive. Nothing proactive.
Is it? I thought it was water.
The hanged man is water.
And we have the Knight of Pentacles, and we have the Knight of Cups. Now, you know, knights are very proactive.
Is that knight or prince of Pentacles?
No. What we have,
no. In the right of way, it becomes the knight.
They're kings.
Yeah, so we have a knight and a king.
A knight and a
king. In the right of way terminology.
Okay,
yeah.
But it would still be the same. Kings and knights are very proactive.
Yes. They are outwardly focused.
Now, what does that mean in terms of the chapter? Like, what? To put it another way, what is the question that the chapter is asking of us? I wonder if you put it that way.
I think that we can see that, and if we just look at the elemental spread line,
okay,
the four cards, we have death initially, and we have the Aeon, which in this case means judgment, and also and a return. You know, it's
resurrection.
Resurrection, right?
Mm-hmm. Resurrection, which in this case also means memory.
And it's also in the area of emotion.
Yeah, and that's the Knight of Cups, which is the third.
Or awakening.
Which is an air.
Mm-hmm.
And air is the way
air
we actually are moving for it, which moves in the Ace of Swords, which is air, becomes the earth. So we do have an interesting elemental movement following that.
Just for the sake of the recording, but really for me, I'll say it for the sake of the recording. Tell me the order of the elements across the bottom again, starting with one.
Death, which is
fire. Yeah, but what's the element associated?
Fire.
Okay.
The Aeon is water, number two.
Okay.
Cups is air, number three.
Mm-hmm.
Swords is...
No. Sorry.
Yes.
Yod-Heh, Vau-Heh.
So it's fire, air, water, earth?
No, fire, water, air, earth.
Air, earth.
Yeah, well,
I ask that every week. I say it's for the sake of the recording, but it's not. It's because I can't remember. Okay.
Okay, and then the Ace of Swords is earth.
Yeah.
A number four, you know, which is
so we have
air. As before the Knight of Cups in the air place.
So basically we have water in fire, we have fire in water, we have water in air, and we have air in earth. Looking at the element associated with the card, it's like none of these match up, you know, so that's kind of...
Yeah, and in some ways I think that's kind of what we're doing here. That's this sort of reliving memory issue in this deep sense of the word, in this cathartic sense, which is, you know, putting it between coitus and death. That seems to be the function of a Netzach. Now that's our victory in a way. This is a place where we play in this sort of transmutations of the elements, you know. And this is also the place where we have to. This is also the last place that we can sort of do this mix and match, because we're going to be sort of kicked out of our constructed self, which is the thing that dies, to go on to the true self, which
you know
is
what
the
I
next
think
chapter.
Is interesting too, how much difficulty we have staying in place, keeping our place, holding on to the path, holding on to the sephira, so to speak. And Alan Moore and his artists really make us experience all the how would you say, the perils of the tree of life, in essence. It's very hard.
That's definitely one of the amazing, interesting things about this comic.
Yes.
Is that being able to do that.
You know, how he knocks us down and we have to get up again and find our place and keep going. Knocks us down again. Okay, up again. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think about it, when I think about Netsuck, I think about it as being a place of great emotional turmoil, and there's cycles going on, it's hot and steamy, and it's in total movement all the time. And that's what's going on here. That's the confusion. That's what Mary Beth said, that the place positions don't match to the cards that came up. So there's a little bit of confusion going on.
Well,
I disagree. I think the experience, Netsuck in its purity, without a human being to experience it, yes, it's all the things that you said and more. However, as a human being experiences it on the tree of life, we're given an opportunity to transcend that.
Yeah.
We are given that opportunity, for sure. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think of Netsuck...
It's more about transcendence, and Aeon and Death speak to that.
But also, Netsuck is called victory. Victory over what? Emotions?
Over all of that emotional turmoil.
Right, exactly. And the Ace of Swords is a very... The Ace of Swords in the tangible and the material and mundane aspect of Earth shows to make it tangible, to make it... To manifest a victory over your emotions.
Right.
To actually ground yourself.
Victory over fear of your emotions, maybe.
Mm-hmm. And how would you interpret the Seven of Swords? Because the sevens are in Netsuck.
Let me bring in another element that we've sort of been ignoring, though I think it may be important, which is...
Wait a minute. Where did the Seven of Swords come in here?
There isn't a Seven of Swords, but the sevens, all the sevens, Seven of Swords, all the elements.
The Seven of Swords is called unstable effort.
The Seven of Swords is called unstable effort.
Right.
And,
which means you let your emotions rule your thinking. It's the... Okay?
Okay.
And this is chapter 16, which is numerologically 7.
Mm-hmm.
What I would like to bring in is a major part of this story that we've tended to ignore, and see if there's a relationship between it and what's happening to the two Prometheas as they go into the Tree of Life, which is the prologue. Sonny Baskerville being possessed by the demons and fighting with Stacia Promethea, who is, to put it mildly, a little butch.
Yeah, isn't she?
So what do you think Alan Moore is trying to say to us as he introduces the chapter this way?
Well, I mean, it's a theme that runs throughout all of... It's sort of a way of maintaining a continuity in the world.
Okay.
In other words, you know, it's sort of like...
Do you think he's trying
to... We're not totally in the dream world at all times. We are occasion... We are given, you know, a snippet of Malkuth, you know, so we're still in Malkuth, and we're all reading these comics in Malkuth.
That's what my question was. So we're seeing Malkuth sort of as this hellish scene.
Well, also, what's so funny is that she says, Stacia Promethea, that, you see, I'm more in touch with my emotions.
Yeah, I know.
which is, you know...
She still has a way to go. So she has already... She's risen even above Netzach. She's in possibly Gabora already. She looks like a Gabora type of person.
She's basically a... she's...
Where are you, Johanna?
In the beginning of the comic. Of the... that's third page in.
Oh, the third page.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, when she's fighting everybody.
I mean, if nothing else, Stacia Promethea is keeping it real. I mean, you know, it's just what you see is what you get.
Yeah, let's get rid of the crazy bastard, you know.
Well, there's another arc in this story, which doesn't start coming through until more towards the end. It's sort of after we finish the Tree of Life section. And that's the prophecy that Promethea is going to,
bring about the end of the world.
The apocalypse. Which does happen. I mean, it's one of the story threads in here.
Oh, well, wait a minute. Spoil it, Paul. No, I'm just kidding.
So in some ways, this initiatory phase that the two Prometheus are going through, Barbara and Sophia. Well, Sophia is the one who represents, and Stacia. Stacia really does mean Malkuth. I mean, in the sense of stasis, in the sense that she's the one who doesn't grow or change or resists it. All the way through, she's the one who never wouldn't even say Promethea's name correctly throughout the first
Promiscua,
Promiscua, yeah.
If you open up the book to Promethea, Love and the Law, just
where are you?
Promethea,
the Adobe.
I'm in the book. The page Promethea, Love and the Law. Is
right.
on the top.
The next
right.
Okay.
The intro with Alan Moore, writer, okay?
Right.
But if you
right.
look at the first panel on the left-hand side, you have the lightning struck tower.
The left-hand side. The lightning.
Hi. Yes, you two okay?
Yes, now, wait a minute. I don't see it.
It's in the back.
On the bottom.
Under the roses?
Under the roses.
Left side. By your left.
Okay, I don't know where
you see
are.
White. Do you see white?
It's where the Netzach begins. It's the green part of the thing. It's after the demons are over.
Oh, okay.
And
that's the path it took to get to Netzach.
Oh, okay. I just wasn't far enough. Yes. Okay. So you are saying? Oh, I see it over there. Yes, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Johanna, what do you think that implies?
Well, isn't that one of the paths to
to Netzach?
Mm-hmm.
It is one of the paths. It goes from Hod to Netzach. It's really the path of consciousness.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a little gem.
He was incredible.
But you can see that because if you go over two more panels,
there
is saying goodbye. You can still see the lightning struck tower.
Yes, yes.
So you can see the bear not
back
going on that path.
And he's going to Hod.
But Bear is heading back to Hod on that path.
Yes, he is.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh, this is so amazing.
Yeah.
And to go right past it to as many times as I might have noticed it years ago when I first read it, but I certainly haven't.
Well, that's my forte, even with movies. I pick out the weirdest things, I could pick out.
Oh, we'll have to talk about Rubicon later, Jen.
Oh, please, everyone's got to see that one. That's
definitely.
It premieres at August 1st.
But they have like a trailer. It's a whole hour. But you can watch it on Hulu on your computer.
I just noticed something, too, in that third panel. We have the crab crawling out of the...
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Out of the water. Yep.
Oh.
And Route 24. Did you see
Route 24? Yeah, I saw the Route
24.
Where's
that's several pages in when they wash up to shore.
Wash up
to shore, okay. So we're moving on.
Mm-hmm, yeah, they're moving on, and they washed up to shore on the top panels, and then they're walking up a cliffside, and it says Route 24.
Yep.
And then the death.
And you see it again where death.
Death really destroys them.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does a number on them. There's the sign of Scorpio there.
Yeah, there's the scorpion.
And then they reformulate themselves.
It's on a signpost, Cynthia.
Yeah.
It's interesting, they talk about cactuses. I didn't know there was cactus. It was attached to the death path.
Yeah, I haven't heard that either.
Death, but I don't see it before death.
Yeah, there's
24.
Route 24.
Oh, I signed it.
Oh, that's okay.
And
go back.
The scorpion.
I just got it.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah.
Thank you very much. Now, what do you think of all these little eyes in the sky?
I don't know, that's pretty weird, isn't it? There's the beetles in the sky, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So some sort of bug?
Scorpions everywhere.
Yeah.
Well,
I didn't know cactus was associated with the path of death.
Yes, I think so. I mean, I have to get my workbook out.
And they can save you from death if you know how to open them and drink from their water, ironically.
Yeah.
And also you have man-o-wars. When they're swimming, there's a man-o-war which could sting you and kill you. They're very lethal. Yeah.
Waldo, the death card, he talked about the scorpion, and he talked about the eagle, and he talked about the snake being the animals that were on the death path.
On death, right.
Yeah. I didn't hear him talk about the beetle or about the plant cactus. That's interesting.
Yeah, some of these water creatures and the crab and so forth have more of a moon kind of
moon feel. Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they kind of have more of a moon feel to me.
Now I have a question. Looking at the page where death is approaching them, you see the top panel where it's got the Route 24 sign. The panel after that.
Okay.
Maybe it's just something quirky in my particular printing of the book, but there's like a white thing up in the sky over death's right shoulder. It's like a white streak.
No, I don't see.
No, I don't have that. Are you thinking of a sight?
It's the highway line.
No, it's the panel below that where Sophie is saying symbolic, but she breaks off.
No, that's the printing.
That must be a quirk in here.
It's a quirk in the print.
Okay.
No, it's not
online. Weird, because it almost looks like a comet. I can read it. I can even read mistakes or something. How about that?
Yeah. And when you look at the cactuses below the foot on the third panel of that page, on your left, the cacti look like crabs.
Yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm.
Then
of course, crabs look like
there's that's a scorpion, actually. It's meant to be a scorpion.
Sorry.
Yeah, and then there's a beetle crossing the road right in front of Barbara's sandals.
And Barbara does look very perturbed. She doesn't like it. She's frightened of death. Even though she's died, technically.
One of the paths from Malkut to Netzach is the moon, and there's the crab or the crustacean on the moon card.
Right. Well, that it is interesting that on Netzach he brings up death, because I think to go higher, you sort of have to die to the world.
And that's pretty much what for me
to the higher self.
Path 24 is key 13, death leading from Netzach to Tiferet. Yeah.
So that's like to go any higher, to go to the heart, to Tiferet. It's like you got to give it up.
That's what Sophie Promethea says.
That's why the issue of true heart, of people who truly live in their heart are relatively rare, because most of us resist the ego death that's sort of necessary to be included in the
heart. I think that's what Pinkola Estes is trying to get at about the sacred heart, that unconditional kind of, to live from love.
When they move to the death card, they're moving into the gold of the sun, Tiferet.
Yes. Yeah.
So the next one is going to be the gold.
I think they moved to Hod, actually. Or did we come out?
No, they just come from Hod.
They came from Hod, and we're going to...
We're going to Teferi.
I guess everybody should take out their subway map again.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well,
believe me, I've been availing myself
of that
lately.
Hod is 8, though.
They're going up the tree, Cynthia.
Okay.
They're moving from the bottom up the tree.
They're following a jagged path.
Yep.
So he's giving us a taste of right and left, of the right and left pillars, while trying to lead us through the middle pillar. Well, Tiferet ought to be wonderful.
No, huh?
Well, yes and no, sure.
But I think that in terms of general understanding, I think it makes sense to pay attention to the Stacey is doing. And her thing, and in some ways I think they do complement each other, because you know, in some ways Sophie is the one who is going is undergoing transformation. She's also a somewhat more like a blank slate. She doesn't have a heavy duty agenda. You notice in some ways, she's curious, she's interested. But, you know, she doesn't have the baggage, even with her mother and all the other things.
Yeah.
She doesn't carry around the baggage that Barbara has or that Stacia has.
Right. Yeah, I think if you put Stacia and Sophie, Prometheus, together in a hat and shake them up, you come out with the ultimate Prometheus. I mean,
that's
really.
That's what he's implying, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, of course, one of the things that will happen is that the militant Stacia Promethea becomes so outlandish that the FBI they make her a public enemy number one.
Now, having not read the entire series, I'm curious to see what happens when Sophie Promethea wants to come back. Is Stacia Promethea going to step down lightly, or is she going to go out screaming?
if you had a taste of power,
exactly.
Would you be willing to relinquish it? Suddenly had to give them back the bank account.
That's kind of what I am anticipating here. I'll be eager to see how it plays out. So, you sounded like one of the demons in the beginning.
Actually, since we moved there naturally, we did find ourselves right in the middle of these symbolical cores here, which is the universal hexagram and the days of the week.
I love that Barbara says, we're right in the middle of all of this symbology and we don't even notice it,
Right.
And, what it is we do have, we do have the stuff available to us to look at. And the question I have, because I don't have an answer to this question. I don't always ask a leading question. Is why is it here? Why is it here just before we start getting into the bubbles of memory? Does anybody want to hazard a guess on that?
Now, what symbol are you talking about? The heptagon?
I'm talking about they're going under the water, right?
They're going under the water.
They went under the water. Now that they're under the water, the first thing they see is this... this emerald.
Okay.
And of course, the emphasis there is the emerald tablet, right? But it's the
hexagram.
Well, emerald also being the color of
the heptagrammaton thing.
Well, it's green. An emerald is green, like Joy was saying.
Yeah, but.
And it's the color of Netzach.
Yeah. And it's also, but there is this thing called the Emerald Tablet, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that, that, I mean, that's referenced in the notes. But then we have there this mandala, which it is.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the variants of it that are in the notes in the PDF file, you know, that deal with the days of the week. You know, and also you can see that there might be a way that you could also see the lightning strike here. Because you have, in the Heptagrammaton Arcanum Majorum, you have almost a reversed version of the, where you have victory, 8 is down at the bottom. And the 2 points being the celestial sun, which is where we're going, and the mundane man, Mars, which is what we left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can also see some of the other aspects there. For instance, the hanged man isn't directly there. Where the heck is the...
I can't hear you, Paul.
The tower. Yeah, see, like in this version, in the Heptagrammaton Arcanum, the tower is way off on Mercury, the Sage of Mercury. And so it's not anywhere near this 8th victory path, which is on the exterior. You have the Emperor, the Magician, the Empress, Justice, Star, Angel, Victory.
I don't know. Where are you, Paul? I don't understand. I don't understand the numbering on that hexagram.
I don't understand why you were referring to Netzach as 8. It's not 8. It's 7.
I'm looking at the PDF file, the Heptagrammaton Arcanum on page 214.
Okay.
Okay, well.
And it's also, you know, in some ways it's a variant. It's a different map of the Tree of Life.
Right.
Interesting.
You know, a quite different map.
It is.
You know, so I'm just bringing it up.
Well, what do you think it implies?
Well, one of the things it implies, I'm asking, particularly the order of the planets, the weekly order of the planets, which is the thing that's down below it. I'm saying that one of the things it seems to imply is the that this understanding or this pattern has something that releases these deeper memories and emotions. Because that's what happens next.
Okay, Paul, on page 213, there's the days of the week, and that goes along with the one that's in the comic strip.
And then you go over to 214, underneath the thing I was reading from, you'll see that you also have the days of the week.
Yeah, but it's different than the one on 213. And
that's correct. It is different, yeah.
It's different.
He's saying
than the one,
this is an alternate view of the Tree of Life.
I think it's a...
The Tree of Life is above, on page 214, the top diagram on 214.
It seems like this is a three-dimensional construct. We're used to a two-dimensional construct of the Tree of Life. This could be...
Colin that does three-dimensional Trees of Life?
Well, this may be the very reason. In fact, you can see that the red lines seem to reproduce the weekly order lines. You see that?
I do.
Yeah. Okay. So that's interesting when you think about it. So this is how you have the days of the week encapsulated in the major arcanum.
Huh.
Okay. Now Monday is moon day. Now how does that work on you think about on page 213?
Tuesday and Sunday is basically or the way it works here. Mundane man, it would be the equivalent of Mars Day or Tuesday, and Celestial Sunday, the Celestial Man, and the path between them is 8 victory.
Okay.
But on the tree of life, eight isn't victory, correct? Eight is...
Victory. Well, seven is temperance here, according to the numeration that they're giving it here.
On the path or in the Sephira?
Well, that's true. The Sephira, it's seven.
Wait, let me...
It's confusing.
Well, I think it is confusing, but part of the reason, the only reason I'm bringing it up is that we have this sort of mandala there, of which these are ways of explaining it in greater detail, which opens us up to this sort of bubbles of memory and imagination. And the question I've got is what might be a plausible reason for that? Maybe we need to return to our reading in terms of...
But Paul, the tree of life, the paths are not fixed in the sense that there are many authors of note, Knight is one of them, who have given alternate path workings for the paths on the tree of life, not for the Sephira, but for the paths.
That is not necessarily germane to the question I'm asking.
No, because you're asking as an alternate tree of life.
I'm just pointing it out because it's in our notes. What I'm pointing out is we have this mandala, however we interpret it, and why do you think it's there?
Why is it where it is in the story? Yeah.
Why is it there in that story before that we enter into these life regression that Barbara does?
Yeah.
I think that's a very interesting question. That's a very good question.
I don't have an answer for it, but I'm just bringing it up.
Here's a possibility.
Barbara says right after they've looked at the mandala and the days of the week, it's like, you know, all of this ancient stuff is right around us all the time, and we don't see it. Similarly, we are in the midst of our emotions all the time, and we don't always know that either. You know, we have to open ourselves up to really become aware of what's around us. I mean, there's a very old saying, I don't know who discovered water, but I'll bet it wasn't a fish. You know, we tend to notice least the stuff that we are totally immersed in. And I think maybe those two things might go together. I don't know, it's kind of a...
I think you hit the nail on the head. That's what I was going to refer to, Marie, that, you know, I agree with you. I think that is it.
Well, okay, so in some ways, one of the things they say here is that it looks like some sort of geyser boiling up from the ocean bed vent, but the bubbles, they've got pictures in them.
Yeah.
And that's Sophie saying that she's seeing the pictures in there. So in some ways, this mandala is a releasing... review. You know when the people say, you know, when you die, you go through a life review where all the major issues in your life are reviewed, and all your regrets are dancing before you, and all your things. Well, you know, so maybe that's what this is for Barbara.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the question that comes up for me is, why is it Barbara experiences this and we don't have a parallel for Sophie? She doesn't seem to...
Well, Barbara is older, for one thing. She has more to remember. She's much less innocent than Sophie is. She has more to regret. We do see a major regret for Sophie, but it's a regret she didn't even know that she should have, you know, because what we see with Sophie, we don't really see her memories. We see her mother's memories. And Sophie has not been aware of that at all until this particular moment in time or whatever she's in. She sees how her mother's emotions really are. which leads to her own. It's like she's too young to have her own emotions or something.
Well, she didn't connect.
I have to go. My battery's dead.
Uh-oh.
Next week.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Take care, David.
Bye, David.
I win. I outlasted David.
You outlasted David. Well, that's good. I won't go any further.
Well, there's another point that's relevant to what you were just saying. Oh,
sorry. Hello.
Yep. Hello. You're here. We're here still.
Oh no, I'm leaving. Thank you. Bye.
You know, someone.
That's
just so funny. Okay.
Okay.
Other than that, there is a whole thing about the. If you get to the link from the Hepagrammaton.
Hepagram, right.
It links to a site. You have to get, give yourself permission to link to it. It says, do you want to allow this? Because, and it gives all of this.
Has left the conference.
All of this across various understanding of it, and which looks way over my head right now, dealing with Pythagorean.
I'm going to have to study this better. I don't have access to the PDF file here where I am.
Yeah.
When I get back home tomorrow, Friday, I'll have to take a look at it.
I guess the thing that I would is that we do have the image of Venus coming up later, but I wanted to return to the.
It was very cartoony, though.
Memory.
It was very cartoony, the image of Venus. I was a little disappointed in that.
Yeah.
It was almost something like what a child would draw. You know what I'm saying?
I think there are compromises in comic art, and that's just the way it is. Not every image.
I think that was done on purpose to do it that way.
But I don't know. With this, I am thinking everything has been so purposeful. You know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
I find it hard to believe that there wasn't some purpose behind that childlike image.
If we, again, on the file that you don't have access to, which is the PDF file.
Thank you,
file,
yes.
There is a big part of the script that... It comes up. We're talking about page 24. Panels gradually lighten to move from away from death and start heading toward the next Sephiroth.
Uh-huh.
And then he has issue 16, Pandemonium, Planning Proposal, Five Pointed Star, Celtic Hall, South Face. These are his notes. Woman, artist, bisexual, mild addiction.
I enjoy pulling a David as a ride.
Thank you, Joy David. Yes.
So on the PDF file, I'm talking the bottom of 216 and all of 217, which is the very end of the notes for this chapter. And, a lot of this, and you can see here, these were his notes for what to. 20 bars, drunk, nobody wants me, I'm a joke, my stupid name, Trish Bangs, 22, pregnant Juan, I thought I was one, she will love me, reminiscent of Miracle Man cover, Barbara, 1970, when I first turned to Promethea, all bubbles from Steve, that's the bubble section.
Yeah.
And here it is, classical planets around versus lines, days of the week, gods representing Monday, Moon, Tuesday, God, Twi, Wednesday, Mercedes, Mercury, Thursday, Tor, not mentioned. Friday, Freya, Frida's Venus, Saturday, Saturn, not mentioned.
Not
Sunday.
Mentioned, yeah.
Me Kitchen Cereal, Apocalypse Pops. Nobody loves anybody. 16 boys love me a little. And so that's, again, we're going through this. So you may find these notes of interest.
I'm sure I will. Absolutely.
Yes. In terms of how this comes up. So it seems that the mandala is, well, it's the way we experience space and time, you know, which is the days of the week.
But not all of them. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Only five of the seven are mentioned.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well.
Well, I down think before around my moods and feelings, maybe that's just life.
Hmm.
It makes you wonder if we have emotions or if emotions have us.
Have us, yeah.
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 So, well, it's just a point that I thought would be worthy of mention. So anybody else got any things they want to bring up about the chapter? And or the character development, or has anyone learned anything about path working?
I think he gives a wonderful introduction into path working. I don't know if it's path working so much as the Tree of Life in general. I don't think it's so much. It may be his experience of working the pads, but I think everybody has a different experience.
Well, when you do path working, Joy, you could confirm this also, is that you have to see certain images. Certain images are dictated. And how you see them is something else. But when you're doing it, it is like you have to come across, you know, the scorpions on the desk. You know what I'm saying? It
right,
is.
Yeah, there's definitely
a script.
There's a script. I don't know that I would say dictated is such a harsh word, and I think it's possible to do path working without following that specific script.
How about prescribed?
Yeah.
Recommended.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's definitely...
Strongly urged.
There's definitely standards.
I'm right to see all the demons in hell, but if you don't want them to be demons of hell, you can make them into
No, that's not what I mean.
That's called New Age path working. No.
Yes, that's New Age path working. Everything's love, everything's wonderful, but, you know, we do have a demon here.
That's right.
Lucky bunny path working.
No, the demons are the hell. They'll just infect your teeth and cause them to run out.
Path working, yes.
Well, I have a path working, which I have to really see how I could set it up that I could record it and put it on to the internet of Lady Sarah from Malkuth to Yassad, which is a Golden Dawn path working thing. And it's pretty intense, kiddos. It's nothing... You know.
Not for the faint of heart?
For the faint of heart.
I forget who it is. I think it's Norwicki has a whole book on the path.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She does, and so do the sisters.
Yep.
Yeah.
If anybody's interested, I can scan a chapter and put it online somewhere.
Mm.
Oh, that would be great. That would be great. Yeah.
Do you want to start with that?
Let's get it over with.
The reading started with death. Probably this should too, you know. So there we go.
In my own personal work, I had done, I had been doing some less structured path working that was just meditation based, and then the book that I was doing it from, I had checked it out from the library as many times as I could and had to return it. And it turned out it was out of print, so I couldn't buy it, so I had to buy the Cicero's book instead. I have the book has since gone back into print, and I got it. But at any rate, where I had left off was at the devil card. And so my very first path working with the Cicero's, which do use the dictated methodology, my very first path working was that one. It's like, huh.
Wow.
This is a little intense. I think I'll go back to my New Age methods.
Yeah, it can be intense, yes.
But, Yeah, no, if people want me to, because I've got both SnowWiki and the Sisters, I can easily scan those and mm-hmm. send them to Paul to put up on the site, maybe on
that would be
wonderful. Okay,
sure.
Particularly of the pads we did, well, it would be wonderful. You know, to do the whole book. Books would be difficult, but just to do the path that we, as we did today, or
yeah.
the path we've done so far.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll see. My scanner doesn't scan straight to a PDF for whatever bizarre reason I can't figure out. So I have to scan it to image files and then insert them into a document and resize them. It's a big hassle, and then print it to a PDF. So I don't know if I'm going to do more than one chapter, but
okay.
I will.
I think
okay.
that was more than generous. Thank you.
Yes, it is. More than generous. Yes, why is scanning so difficult?
You know, I have a little HP all-in-one, and I really like it, and I've had it for about 5 or 6 years, so it is kind of old. Whenever I've had a job and they've had a scanner at work, it's super easy to do. I don't know why it has to be hard on a home machine. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Well, I deliberately avoid the all-in-one machines.
No, do you
And when I keep my scanner just as a simple flatbed scanner, and the way it
That's
works,
what I have
and the way it does. I will suggest to people that not only read the chapter that we're coming upon, read it ahead of time. I know some of you don't like to do that, but also take a look at the notes. The notes are coming up. There are 3 or 4 relatively striking images done by Dolly. That the next the next one is going to be done by Dolly. Look at the notes. They follow a general pattern. There's a synopsis, and then there's a collection of quotations, provocative quotations. And then
Dolly himself did a gorgeous tarot.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Dolly did a beautiful tarot.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've never been struck by its artistic merit.
I thought it was a lovely tarot.
Well, to me, it seemed a little...
I have it. I like it. I find it very hard to read with.
Right,
but looking at it, looking at it is very interesting. Yeah,
right.
I agree.
The tarot you read with and tarot you just look at, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. There's one or two people I know that actually use that as their tarot of choice.
Wow. They must have very strange minds.
And Rachel did write the book.
Right.
Yes.
On the on it. So,
yes, she did.
And she does. She honors the images and the decks that she writes about.
Yep.
So, but what's interesting about this is that there's meditations on the Eucharist. And we notice that we're at the heart, and there's this issue, there's a lot of emphasis on bread as the heart image in these Dolly paintings. So,
in the next chapter.
There's a way of teasing you into looking at the notes, because they will help us, perhaps, and...
I think the notes are tremendously helpful.
Yeah.
I normally do look at them, I just didn't have time, and then I don't have it with me here, so, you know... Yeah, I do find them very helpful.
Is it all right to bring up something tangential?
Sure.
It's all right with me.
Did anyone already bring this up, or has anybody seen James's article on The Cards Ask the Questions? This time, The Cards Ask the Questions this time is the name of the article.
And who is it? James Wanless, did you say?
James Rickeloff.
James Rickler. No, I haven't seen that yet.
He's been blogging actively.
Yeah,
he has.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you notice, I have occasionally comment on his blog lately. And I did blog on that one because of Stephen Schwartz's dynamic spread deck, which, and he's disappeared off the internet. I can't get access to him. His email doesn't work anymore, and his website is down.
You
wonder if he's still around.
What? place
is
probably around physically. He's just not around cyberspace.
Okay. What do you call it? What did he call it? The dynamic?
I have a complete set of it. I may be one of the few people that do.
What's the name of it?
It's called the Dynamic Spread Deck.
Dynamic Spread Deck.
Yeah, you're not going to find it anywhere because they never commercially released it.
But what is the point? What's the gist of it in reference
The gist of it is that it's an 80-card deck that that is in four suits that are, you know, similar, earth, air, fire, and water. And that each one of the suits has a different cards associated with it. Like in the one he has, I think it's the water one, he has the Celtic Cross. But he does it twice, so there's 20 cards. In other words, so each Celtic Cross position has one thing. He asks questions.
So he relates the 10 positions of the suits to the 10 positions of the Celtic Cross.
In that one suit, yeah.
Okay.
And he has two cards for each position. Then they're identical, so there's no difference. But okay. One of the things he does on the cards is he asks questions. So the cards are strong focusing mechanism, much more so than other ways. Now, and you can use it at random. You can pull the cards at random, or you can deliver things. Then some of his other suits deals with another pattern. One of the patterns he used was the chakra system. So he had one for each chakra up through six. I think I don't think he did the seventh chakra. And the and a variety of things like that. And again, he may have done that.
Has left the conference.
Uh-oh.
What happened?
Mary Beth. Has left the conference.
What happened?
Everybody.
Are we getting thrown out?
I think we are.
Weird.
Okay, so.
What time is it?
It's 11:53.
We should have more time.
Hmm.
Well, yeah. At any rate, if anybody can get a hold of the article, I do recommend it. I think it's a very well-done article. I mean, it's done all the time, but in this sense, it's asking the question. So, I would be curious.
Mary Beth is back. Has arrived.
What happened?
I don't know. My cell phone just dropped the call all of a sudden.
And Paul's phone dropped the call.
Oh, did it? Well,
yeah.
Hey, Paul. What happened?
What happened to you, Paul?
I got kicked off the line somehow.
So did
I.
Have
you had a cell phone too?
Yeah, just the phone. It just suddenly turned into a dial tone.
But are you?
And mine did too. How strange.
Are you on a cell phone?
No.
Oh. Marie Beth is on a cell phone, and you were on a land phone. I guess it can happen to any of us at any time.
Yeah, I guess so.
Johanna and Joy here?
Yeah, we're still around.
Oh.
Val's still here?
Mm-hmm. Some electronic
here.
Hiccup.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it only affected you and me, Paul. So, you know, coast to coast, we're having problems.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what's the deal here about Val, since you tend to be relatively quiet, you got anything you'd like to chime in about the readings today?
I can't think of anything.
I want to thank you for your comments, though, because I thought they were right on target.
Yes, we do appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
You do share, and we'll encourage you to do more of that.
Val may not be loquacious, but she has gems when she does speak.
Yes.
She's pithy. She's very pithy, isn't she?
Yes.
So, I am, having known Val for a long time, I'll pardon me for speaking of you in the third person, Val, but she's, I think she's a person who kind of thinks to talk rather than talks to think. I've seen her ponder things for a while and then come up with a real gem, so.
Yes, I'm slow. That's a nice way of saying I'm slow.
That is not what I said. You Amazon Pixie, you. Yes.
It was a joke.
Oh, golly.
So, one of the things that I had a professor like that once, actually, who would never say anything unless he was pretty clear exactly what he wanted to say, and could say it in the most concise way. So, you know, some student at the beginning of the seminar would say, what do you think about such and such and so, you know, and the professor would say, oh, it's an interesting question, and wouldn't say anything more about it, and, you know, there'd be long silences, and eventually, you know, we'd start talking about whatever our topic was, or text that we were going to study, and he would, you know, talk about, you know, various, you know, variants of the text and what it might mean, and differences, and, you know, cases of this, that, and there was the stuff way beyond my ability to understand what he was talking about mostly.
We have... I'm sorry.
Yeah, but ultimately, you know, so then, you know, after 45 minutes, you know, the seminar is closing down, the professor would turn to the guy and said, what about that question you had?
Yeah. So the whole time he was lecturing, the back of his brain was processing, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool.
I found on the site hermeticvirtues.org MP3.
Right.
Of path working, Malkuth, the 10th and final seraph is the most dense of material spheres. But the author is Tabitha. Excuse me, dear?
What's the name of the site?
HermeticVirtues.com. The price is $10. And you can buy your path workings via MP3. Now, that's interesting.
Very good.
I don't know.
So it's like a meditation.
What degree it makes sense to be doing path workings through MP3, but yeah, who knows? I'm a little conservative about some of these esoteric things. Oh, and yes, and this is how you de-nervicop with somebody. You know, breathe in this nostril, out that nostril, and hold your breath.
But, you know, some people really do absorb things more auditorily than they do visually. So, you know, there are people for whom that could be a very big benefit.
Well, yes and no. See, the thing is, some of these esoteric things, it really helps to have somebody around who knows what you're doing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have a bunch of people around who don't know what you're doing, they think you're insane, and they call the funny for them, have you towed them away. Well, we thought he was a Calatonian. We didn't know he was in Somali.
Just start yelling like Sonny, you know, like Mayor Sonny. Just start yelling, and
that's
then you,
right.
You know.
Yeah. All right. So, well, thank you all for
thank
being
you
here
very much.
This week, and we will go the route of the sun. And by the way, there is in the notes for the route of the sun a explanation of our route using the lightning bolt.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
You will see that in the PDF file if you look at it.
Right.
Take care.
Thank you for the references.
Thank you, everyone.
Yeah. I'm going to get going. People, take care.
Right. Have a good day, everyone.
Have a good week, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Uh-huh. Bye.